Talking about best feel-good songs this morning, and in order to win free tickets to Keith Urban, I'll award after 8 o'clock. What's the one song that comes on the radio makes you feel good instantly? Text 1-877-300-7275. Lori texted me and said, Greg, my favorite is ABBA's Dancing Queen. There's a lot of ABBA songs that make everyone feel good. Another Sheila said, John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. Wake me up before you go-go. Michelle. That's her go-to song to feel good. It does feel good after you go, doesn't it? Yeah. Just her Dancing in the Dark there. That was kind of cool on the weekend at the U.S. Open. Bruce Springsteen sitting there next to his daughter. And Courtney Cox, friend star, runs down between sets to chat with them. She was 20 years old when she answered an ad to dance on stage with Bruce Springsteen on the opening night of his Born in the USA tour back in 1984 in Minnesota. And at the end of the video of Dancing in the Dark, Springsteen invites who we now know as Cox onto the stage, right, and dances with him. I think it was his memoir, Born to Run. Springsteen said that he thought Cox was a pre-selected fan, didn't know that she was actually a professional actress brought in from New York until afterward. But, hey, Courtney Cox from that video went on to family ties, and her career blossomed, obviously, as we know, as a star of Friends, too. Charlie Sheen. Remember him? Of course you do. He's opening up about his lifelong struggle in what he says first led him to start drinking. And for many years, a substance abuse problem. It's all being discussed in his new memoir called The Book of Sheen. And in it, he reveals he's been struggling with stuttering his whole life, too. And that was one of the first reasons he turned to alcohol at a young age.
Drinking just, it softened the edges. It gave me just freedom of speech.
In the years leading up to the hit series Spin City, Sheen said he was deep into addiction and alcohol and crack cocaine, which he first tried in 1992. He joined Spin City in 2000, and that's when he went public for the first time with his cast and crew that stuttering might be a problem. He said revealing it, though, was liberating.
It did, yeah. Because like I write in the book, there's, you know, when I got the first script for Spin, and I was going through it, and I was like, oh, that's a problem. That's going to be a problem. I can't say that. So, yeah, when in doubt, just be human enough to be vulnerable and to know that it's okay to ask for help.
Yeah, flipping through this new memoir from Charlie Sheen out today, he reveals when he was 24, his family staged what was the first of many interventions, but he admitted he was never trying to get clean for himself. It was always for his family, and it was only a matter of time before he relapsed.
It's hard to ask for help when somebody else has raised your hand for you. And so I think that was the theme of knowing it was only a matter of time.
He would overdose in 98. His dad turned him in for a violation. You can imagine how that made him feel.
My son was admitted here yesterday as a result of a drug overdose.
It felt like the biggest betrayal you could possibly endure. Saw it as love eventually. But in the moment, it's like when in the book, when my bodyguard comes to the bedroom door and he says, you know, the U.S. Marshals are on the way, you know, we're leaving in 5.
What a story. Sheen admits to being sober for several years before he began using prescription pills while starring in 2 and a Half Men. And that's when it all went downhill even worse, right? He said as the show went on, it was as if he was living 2 and a half bodies, a sober one for production of the show, a friendly guy for his co-stars, and half of whatever guy was left over fearing the unknown, he said.
With the pills on board, I was afraid of getting outed with that because there was a lot of it. There was an AA energy on the set.
Yeah, during that production of 2 and a Half Men, he would eventually go into rehab. They put the whole show on hiatus. Later, he was barred from the set. Remember, he was going tiger blood all the time? Well, it's all explained in this book. And there's even a Netflix movie called AKA Charlie Sheen. It features the people closest to Sheen, like his celebrity friends, former co-stars, ex-wives, and kids, all talking about it as well. So you're going to be seeing a lot of Charlie Sheen over the next few days as his new memoir is out today and the Netflix docuseries is dropping as well this week. Yes, the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada released on bail and now in the Queen City. I'll get to that here with Kevin Martell in just a moment, but I must remind you that Ashlyn George, our travel blogger and frequent visitor of this show, is going to join me after the 7 o'clock news to share how she survived being in the center of a Bermuda Triangle. She wound up being surrounded by not one, not two, but three bears on her way back to her car. Did not have bear spray on her.
Ooh.
Kevin Martell joining me now from the 980 CJB Newsroom.
That's a conundrum.
Yes, a bit of a predicament how she got out, and perhaps a few tips for you and I coming up after the 7 o'clock news. I love Ashlyn. She always has great stories, but that one sounds scary. Have you ever encountered, you know, some wildlife and been in a situation where you thought, oh, no?
Well, we've gone down to Texas a few times,
uh-huh.
And we've driven. Can you imagine that? Driving from, at the time, Manitoba all the way down to the southernmost part of Texas. But anyway, along the drive, we're somewhere in Kansas or Nebraska.
When a giant steer jumped out at you.
And we stop at a gas station to stretch, get out, and I look over and boom! There are probably about several dozen dead animals, carcasses, in the back of a truck. It must have been like a pickup patrol of some kind, but all kinds of, and it just freaked me out for a brief moment because, you know, you're kind of, you probably just got up from a nap, you look over and boom, right there. And so they were passed away.
Well, that's gruesome, probably smelly. Yeah. I don't even want to get any more breakfast details here with you, Kevin.
No, I was like, oh.
All right. Well, perhaps next time we could ask for a wildlife story encounter with a living animal from you, okay? All right, let's get to it. Hey, City Hall has got another meeting today. What's going on there?
Yeah,
why another one?
Yeah, so this is part of what we told you about last week about how they want to make the budget process a little bit more transparent to people. So, yes, they will have a special city council meeting today. They're not going to make any hard decisions in terms of property taxes, whether we're seeing another increase. What they want to do is kind of lay out expenses, revenues, early estimates of both of those for the upcoming year to give people more of a deeper look.
So what are they giving us, a slideshow if we show up to see how it's done? I don't.
Well, they're going over a number of services, for example, and they're just going through how much some of these services might cost. And they'll have probably discussion as per usual for city council. I guess what they were finding is a lot of times, and we've seen this over the number of years, they would have one day for budget discussions. And then that would go into 2 days to 3 days into better part of a week. Counselors asking questions, maybe not as sure about some things. And so they're just spreading this out, not just for counselors, but obviously for the public to kind of come in and see exactly, you know, if you're interested in that kind of thing, right? I mean, it's not, you know, for a lot of people, it's not the most sexy thing, looking at number after numbers, but it does give you a better insight into the decisions made.
Okay. Now, let's get to the self-proclaimed Queen of Canada has wound up here in our Queen City. And this one here took a turn because I don't think many of us expected from Richmond, Saskatchewan, where this Queen first arrived, to wind up here. Like, well, what's happening now? What's going on?
Yeah, the self-proclaimed Queen, the Queen City now. So, yeah, it was at a bail hearing in Swift Current yesterday, and part of her conditions, so she was released, that's the first thing, and part of her conditions were that she has to stay at a place in Regina. Around the clock is what these conditions say. She has to stay there all the time, and if she does leave, she has to get, like, consent from authorities, you know, the people that are looking after her, more or less. And so that's part of what she has to do. She can't have any contact with her followers. Kingdom, as they're calling them.
And have we been told where she's staying in Regina yet?
No, not that we've heard from out of court yesterday. So,
yeah. And we obviously then don't know who foots the bill to have a roof over her head. I'm pretty sure in the long run it's somehow because of us, but
Yeah, no, is the answer to that question. Yeah. Not directly. But okay. So this process will play out. She's electing to have a jury trial. So
representing herself?
She'll be back in court mid-September, middle of this month, a couple of weeks from now.
All right. Kevin Martell, I appreciate the update there. And Kevin will be back here in just a few more moments. But stick around. We've got more free tickets to Keith Thurman right now. 1-877-300-7275. Inviting you to tell me, what's the one song that makes you feel good? The moment it comes on the air, you crank it up. That one song. Doesn't have to be a Keith Urban song. Your answer and your first and last name is entry to win free tickets all award after 8 o'clock. Everyone's name will go in the hat. Oh, hey, Cameron just said, I Love a Rainy Night by Eddie Rabbit. That was a huge song at one point. Yeah, good one, Cameron. Thank you. Let's see. Oh, another one. Radar Love. Tom says, if that doesn't get you going, you're dead. Radar Love is a great song. Tom, you're in the draw, too. It's 6:58.
On religion, but I sure enough would like to hear the call.
Well, this is an extraordinary story coming up here from Aslan George, our friend and travel blogger from lostgirlsguide.com, joining me now on the phone, as definitely had a bit of a scare herself recently as she was hiking, and wants to share the story now about a bit of a bear scare. I welcome you back, Ash. Let's start first. Where were you when this happened?
I was in Pinawa, Manitoba, and I was doing some cycling, some biking.
In lightness, where is that exactly in Manitoba?
Pinawa is kind of on the east side of the province, not quite at the border. It's in the forest. So okay. You are in wildlife territory, and there are signs up saying, you know, there's lots of bears here. Even in town, there's quite a few bears that go along the riverfront there in Pinawa. So I had biked during the day. I biked from Pinawa to Seven Sisters, another community. They have a hydro dam there. And then I wanted to catch the sunset at Pinawa Dam. This is an old dam that was decommissioned in the 50s. It was built in the early 1900s. And now as a tourist, you can go wander around. It's like an amazing post-apocalyptic playground there. It's very cool to check out.
And that's exactly where our story takes a twist. Now, you wind up in the Bermuda Triangle.
And it was terrifying. So I stayed too late. I stayed after sunset, and I didn't have my bear spray with me the one time that day. So I was coming back to the parking lot, and it's kind of an open space. It was dark enough that I couldn't see anything, so I was just walking along my narrow flashlight path from my cell phone. And to the right of me, I heard, like, the huffing, snorting, like that growling, rumbling of a bear that I am actually too close to.
So then you run as fast as you can.
You do not run.
What happened next?
You freak out inside and stay calm outside. So I called out to the bear just so, like, I knew it knew I was there, but I called out to it and I was like, I'm going to start moving to the left of the bear.
Can you reenact what you called out to the bear?
Pretty loudly. I was just like, hey, bear, whoa.
Okay, all right. So you're communicating.
Yeah. You feel silly doing that, but you just need to make some noise. So I started moving over to the left to give it to some space to go around. And then to the left of me, I heard those exact same, like, aggressive, rumbly, growly, like, huffing, snorting sounds. And I was like, oh, no, this just got worse. I am between two bears right now. Now I'm like, this is a problem, and I really need to think what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it, because that's going to make a difference in how this turns out for me. I am swiveling between the two bears, talking to both of them. The one on the left is also at a tree. Now I'm like yelling a little bit louder because I'm like, okay, I'm still pretty far from the car, and I don't want to walk backwards because I'm just going further from my car. There's nowhere safe for me. And so I was like, what do I do? And I was like, are these trees big enough not to climb, because bears climb incredibly fast, but to like shelter myself behind, because I had no weapon with me. I had a camera.
And your bear spray is in the car. I'm talking to Ashlyn George, star of the LostGirlsGuide.com. Who at the moment is trapped between bears to the left, bears to the right. How far in front of you is your vehicle?
It's probably 30 to 40 meters.
So slowly you move.
Yeah, I keep walking. There's no sounds of a charge. Sometimes they do a bluff charge because black bears are timid. But I'm between what is probably a mom and a cub. So I'm just like, walk slowly. They're not coming closer. Keep moving forward. Pivoting my flashlight between the two of them, getting closer and closer to my vehicle. I'm like, do not run, do not run, do not run. As I get to my vehicle. On the other side of it, third bear.
A third bear?
A third bear. I'm in a triangle, the center of a triangle. I'm parked against like the edge of the parking lot, and then there's more trees there. So each bear is at a tree. They're, you know, searching around looking for food.
Well, clearly you were not eaten because you're on my show this morning, and I'm thankful for that. But what
yes,
do you do?
So I was close enough to my vehicle at this point in time. I'm like, get there and get in. And I have a keypad on my vehicle, so I don't even have my keys with me, so I have to go to the driver's door, which is the same side that the bear is on. But he's just off the parking lot. I punch in the code as quick as I can, hope I don't screw it up, and then I, like, get in the car, slam the door shut, and, like, I feel like my heart is going to explode out of my chest.
Oh, I bet. So the moral of the story, Ashlyn George, is...
Oh, carry your damn bear spray.
It's a scary story, and thanks for sharing. I am entirely grateful that you're just fine. But it's a good reminder because, you know, there's still a few weeks ahead of us here. Bears are still out foraging for food, aren't they?
Absolutely. They're getting ready for winter. And so they're really active right now, trying to eat up as many berries as they can. So thankfully, black bears are pretty timid. I do want to reiterate that. But you do need to be careful around them, give them their space, and react appropriately.
Ashlyn, I appreciate your time as always. And thanks for sharing your story.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Oh, this is a good song. Is this the song, though, that makes you feel good the moment it comes on the radio? That's what I'm inviting you to text me, 1-877-300-7275. Songs that make you feel good if you do it. And share your first and last name. You can even include a story why it makes you feel so good, like Kim did from Lumsden, said, Summer of 69, my dad's favorite song, cranks it up loud, we all sing along. That song right there. I guess, you know, they're just not in sync. But Jody Bray texted me when I asked, what's Evan's go-to song?
She said that song?
She said.
No, she did not.
Well, actually, she said Dr. Dre first. And then she said, but he's got diverse musical tastes. Let me just pull up the text here. Dr. Dre or some old rapper. Or maybe Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. He's got a wide musical range of taste.
That's
so what's the one
pick.
Song that you would say?
Well, Greg, a very good friend of mine told me something the other day.
Of course.
And
familiar.
I'd like to pass it on to you because I believe what he said to be true. I love the song We're Here for a Good Time by Trooper. Love that song.
Is that one you karaoke to as well? Or
I don't think I karaoke to it, but it was one of the first records that I remember buying. And to this day, that's a feel-good song.
It is.
Me.
And I'm going to be very honest with you. I'm a huge Trooper fan from way back, too. And that song, I went through a spell. Like, I wore the grooves out of the 45 on that one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the 8-track was warbling in your car.
Yeah, here we go.
There you go, Frank.
Frank is putting it on for you. Okay. Feel good music. You can't win the Keith Urban tickets, but anyone else want to weigh on this conversation? 1-877-300-7275. Did you hear Frank, the producer, come in earlier this morning and sing his favorite song?
No.
Well, maybe I'll get Frank in here to...
I would love.
He's swearing right now behind the glass.
He's coming in. I like it.
I just off the cuff, I said, Frank, what's the one song that makes you feel good?
And he's singing it.
Frank, go ahead. What's?
I don't know why I talk back in the mic in the mornings.
Let's see if Evan can...
For the longest time, Billy Joel.
You're welcome. For the longest time.
Oh, you got to finish singing it.
I didn't think that.
I didn't need more than that.
Okay, Frank.
Good job.
Thanks
Frank.
For coming on. All right, let's talk about what's going to be definitely a hot topic on your show today. The self-proclaimed Queen of Canada released on bail in a courtroom at Swift Current yesterday. This morning, waking up in Regina, where she's being housed somewhere and can't leave without, you know, certain ramifications behind it all, but. Living where?
Yeah.
And who's responsible now?
Well, I mean, clearly they're not going to be telling the address of where she's at. I would assume the Regina Police Service has had some sort of communication with the judicial system to understand where she is, what the conditions are, because they will be the ones that ultimately will have to enforce if there is a breach or an alleged breach of the conditions. So.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, I saw on the text line yesterday a few people saying, you know, wow, she's just got some extreme views. Why are you? This is a lady who, if you want to look at the fact that she says she talks with aliens, she treats a lot of her followers like crap. People that were used to be followers of hers, but have since left the cult, and I'm not even going to put that in quotes, say she is abusive towards them. She incites hatred. She
doesn't even want to recognize our law.
Doesn't recognize our law. Developed her own type of money, passes out these pieces of paper saying it's legal tender, and then gets mad at stores and retailers when they won't accept them, and has called for violence and death to people who oppose her and her views, including people in the healthcare system. This is not a well lady. No. She's not well, for sure. And so, you know, to say, well, she's just got a few weird ideas. No, it's a little bit further than that.
She's not the first, though, to be put up a house somewhere and waiting like this. Who fits the bill for this? We as taxpayers, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, I mean, there will be obviously some, I'm guessing, maybe some costs incurred. But, I mean, this is, keep in mind, this is going to be while she's, while this
she's
court
case. She's
not
in a jail. She's
out.
In a home
That's
somewhere.
Right. Yeah, that's right. But she's given conditions. So, you know, I don't think the system is paying to put her in a home. I'm guessing someone who's a supporter of hers or someone who's agreed to keep her or have her in their home is where she would be, I'm guessing.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a topic and a beautiful story coming up later on your show. I wanted to touch base on is about a kidney donor.
Yeah. Do you remember? This was from actually a couple of years ago, but there was a lady in Saskatchewan who desperately was in need of a kidney replacement, Debbie Onchenko. And she actually was so desperate, she put a sign in the back of her car, and it resulted in her being connected with Brent Kruger, who then, of course, donated the kidney.
Wow.
They both are living healthy, happy lives, and they're joining the show today to talk about the living donor program that is actually being recognized this week in the province.
That's awesome. Look forward to that story. Evan Bray back at 8:30.